All right, well, this is a special weekend, and not only do the clocks get turned back, but no, well, not in your world, but not in our world either. We don't have to touch our clocks. But the rest of the world, the little people, they do that. And this is the 50th, 5-0 anniversary of me and Carol acknowledging each other daily. That's how we'll call it. Acknowledging each other daily.
This is when Carolyn bought her own wedding ring.
Yeah. So that's 4 years later. That's 4 years later.
Nice.
This is 66.
Nice.
This is when we first started dating.
See, that's when you care enough to buy your own cell phone. It's a good day. That's right.
I should have known something was up then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were marrying yourself, so you have to love yourself or something first.
That's a song, too. That's a song, Bob.
Is it? Love Yourself?
Beatles
first.
No, Rolling Stones. The Beeb.
Beefheart. Yes, got Beefheart.
No, Bieber. Justin Bieber.
Oh, Justin Bieber.
Oh, Julian.
Julian is saying Justin Bieber. What's the difference? Okay, so we.
It's all a little wiki leak, isn't it, Bob?
That's right. Payday's a little leak. The longest leak.
Is that like a sticky wicket?
Yes. Cricket. Right. British. Prince Charles. Queen Elizabeth. There's a movie about Queen Elizabeth II, I think, now. Yeah. Just came out. Saw a trailer for it.
They hate exposure. This may mean something.
Right. So Ginny had some questions last week that I didn't notice her plea to get on last week. So we'll see if Ginny's got those questions. You ready, Ginny?
Hi, Bob. Hi, Carolyn.
Hey.
Hi, Ion.
Hey, sweetie.
Okay,
Bob, actually, the question, I sent you the email, and then I actually asked the questions last week that I had, but I do have another question, so I'll ask that instead. But you put me on last week, and I got to ask my questions.
Now we'll get to the good part.
Okay.
It's private. It's quiet. Nobody in the whole wide world will ever know. We'll do it right here in blind faith sight.
Ion, last week I heard you say, when we were talking, that the ascended continent is what the Bible calls Israel.
Yes, and it's moving, but yes.
So the ascended continent, not the physical space that we think of Israel according to whatever we think we see with our lying eyes, but the ascended continent, when the New Testament is talking about spiritual Israel, is that referring to the ascended continent?
Yes. Dottie Rambo's
okay.
People who are not. Very good.
Okay.
You still sing better than she.
Well, Ion, that's very sweet of you to say that.
We like Dottie Rambo and Reba McGuire.
Yes, I know. You used to send me all those songs. Ion, so the Ascended Continent, Spiritual Israel, New Testament. Okay. So last week,
Is it necessarily the New Testament?
Well, the New Testament is what's talking about spiritual Israel.
What happens in the Old Testament?
Well, in the Old Testament, Israel is named after the sons of Abraham. Actually, Jacob in particular and Isaac. And the people of in the Old Testament, the people of Israel are considered only exclusively to be Jews, and they have.
But is that what Ion means? Does Ion mean that for the Israel of the Old Testament?
I'm getting to those questions, Bob.
Well, one of the things is I don't see how the New Testament relates to anything because we're going back to Genesis in the Old Testament. So if that's a question, maybe you can work on that or come to that point. But go ahead with your question.
She's answering the point. The point of why we said it's moving. It's moving, yes. Just like
it's
ocean is a protected place.
Is it moving with the cloud?
It will.
There's different parts of spiritual Israel. That's where the Jews and the Gentiles meet. So the idea of a bloodline doesn't apply in spiritual Israel. Well, the bloodline becomes the blood of Christ to everyone. Now, is that the same with the Ascended Continent?
Yeah. But now, be careful now. Don't mix this up with 1 Corinthians 10:18.
Corinthians 10:18. Hold on, I got to get there. Oh, observe Israel after the flesh. Is that what you're talking about? Observe Israel after... Okay, go ahead.
Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?
So then we're talking about the physical nation of Israel.
That it moves too. That's what you're saying, it moves too.
So the Israelites who ate the sacrifices of the altar were one with the altar. So it's talking
about... That's
our product,
isn't it, Ginny? Isn't that our product?
That's our product.
Yes.
And
do they
move because they're on our products? Is this moving business going to happen to people only if they're on our products? Would be my question, Ion.
What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to duels and not to
devils.
God. And I would not eat ye duels. Yes, they don't make the V's in the 1611 King James Bible. That I would not ye should haul fellowship with dua.
I don't get that part.
Well, it's just the answer to the question. So,
I know it's the answer
sacrifice
to the question. Well, all right. All right. Observe Israel after the flesh. I get that.
She jumped in the deep end now, Bob.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't try.
Poking. Good thing you're not ticklish. It could get ugly.
Okay, I understand the thing about the sacrifice, the temple, eating the things of the altar, which are the products. And those people are partakers. Their identity allows them to do it. Because they know, just like you said, who are the drops for? The drops are for the ascended. Why do people take the drops? Because they're ascended. So why would a Jew sacrifice and eat at the altar? Because they're a Jew and they know they belong there. What would a Gentile do?
Because of the mourner's kiddush. Because of the mourner's kiddush, that's why a Jew would eat it.
The mourner's kiddush is a prayer.
Do.
So they would be there to be reciting the prayer, so they'd be participating in the ritual, but it would still be part of their identity, right?
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idlers, as were the some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as for some commit, and fell in one day 23,000. These are the very things that lay out in chapter 10, basically chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians.
This is a good point. I get the spiritual baptism, they're in the cloud, they're running through the sea with Moses, they're all baptized through that experience, this is their brothers, and then it gets off into this wonky little area of the do's and the don'ts. We don't have do's and don'ts in Iondom, right?
That's correct.
I just wanted to be clear about that. So,
wait a minute, so does 10:32, give no offense, neither to the Jew or to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Don't give offense, that's Bible. 10:32, 1 Corinthians 10:32.
I know, but there's a lot of contradiction in what Paul writes and what Jesus says.
Oh,
and,
yeah, there's a lot of Iran and the Iran Contra too.
Okay, let's go back to, we're going back to the Ascended Continent, to the Israel that is, now, what I'm asking you is, the Israel that's the Ascended Continent, is that the fullness of the Ascended Continent, or that's just an aspect of it?
We say both.
The fullness of what's implied in the Israel of the Bible is the Ascended Continent, and it's an aspect of it because there are more dynamics to the Ascended Continent besides that, correct?
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Now here's the flip, though.
Your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuousness, covetousness, and idolatry.
I know, but Ion, the difference here is that in the Ion perspective, the earth is heaven. And we're not storing up our treasures and all the rest of this for the heaven that's to come that you achieve after you die. You're living right now here, heaven on earth. And you're living your physical meat sack body eternally here on earth. And there is no need for that transition. And you don't have to deny yourself, right?
You don't. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So, yeah.
Is this idea of Christ, since there were three Jesuses, is this Christ a like a frequency, a vibration, a...
No, it's just the way, it's an example that they use and we use. We could just as easily do this entire work with Gozar the Gozerian in Ghostbusters. Would you prefer us shift the whole mantra to Ghostbusters, are you a god, when Gozar the Gozerian has come? And instead of the Valley of Megiddo, we can move it to a 90-foot-tall, burning, stay-puffed marshmallow man. It's perfectly all right with us. But that's
yes,
just the
I know.
To go with.
Right, I get that. But I'm just clarifying this and also asking specifically because of some of the different, you know, aspects, just like I said, you know, the difference between heaven on earth and all this. But even Gozar the Gozerian and getting burned up with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, the purpose of acknowledging ascension and being part of this whole process is that those things don't touch us, correct?
The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. That takes you all the way back to Ecclesiastes, you remember? You used to love Ecclesiastes.
So the Ascended Continent and Israel are what you're using to describe the process of ascension and the place where the remnant and the dead in Christ shall rise and dwell together, correct?
Yes, in verse 10, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after.
All right. I can live with that.
No, we can answer more. We had to get you in contact with it because you were trying to take us someplace, and we don't mind going, but I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it?
Well, I have, just in my own experience, just was very intrigued with that piece of the ascended continent being Israel. To me, that explained a lot in my knowing, and I'm not even sure how. It was just like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense to me. And we were talking last week about the dead in Christ. You mentioned the remnant, and it was just all, I don't know, kind of fell together. So I just wanted to confirm somewhat of what I think I know.
It's yummy.
Yep, it's very yummy. I think that's good for now. I'm going to go through back through that my notes and pull out some more things because I have some more things.
Flip over to Ezekiel 20 then.
Okay, hold on. Ezekiel 20. Rebellious Israel purged. The whole thing?
No, just do number 3.
Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you.
That's what you're fixing to move to.
Where, and the Lord God that will not be inquired of. That's
right.
The, nobody's going to be able to ask me any questions or?
They won't be chided by. And say unto them, thus says the Lord God, in the day when I choose Israel and lifted up my hand upon the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand upon them, saying, I am the Lord your God.
Okay.
In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them, to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into the land that was spied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands.
Then I said unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt.
Hallow my mitzvah and keep them holy.
The Lord God that's being spoken of in this passage of Scripture, what reference is that to? Is that referencing Bob or Ion or Ginny or?
We'd say it's the house of Israel. How about that? That way.
Ah. All right. So the house of Israel. Okay, very good.
We had to bring it. We had to bring it back around.
So that's what we're coming to.
Eloheinu. Duke.
I have a question, Ion.
Hey, DQ.
Greetings. What was the pH and the specific gravity of manna?
2.
2 is the pH?
2.
Okay. And the specific gravity was 2?
2.
What is the specific gravity and pH of super sugars?
-4. Because it is a trial, and what if the sword condemn even the rod? It shall be no more, says the Lord God. That's 13. That's 13 of Ezekiel 21.
Okay, Ezekiel 21. Let's go see what this is about. Okay, and this 13. Is 21:13. And this is still that the Lord is against the people.
Well, yeah. See, you understand this what happens. You're God. And that's what we've been saying all the way through. We say,
correct.
You're God, you're God, you're God.
Correct.
So we are blue in the fucking face, blue, telling you how you are God. And everybody says, okay, I'm God, and then they don't, and then they're not. Okay, I'm God, and then they fool around and die. And it's so hysterical, because we say, kill yourself, it doesn't make any difference, because you're still God. And they go, okay, we're not going to kill ourselves, boom, and then you kill yourself. And then you go, oh, wait, I'm God. This is the silliest thing I've ever seen. And we go round and round and round and round and round about all these rules and regulations that little man has to live by, or you'll die in sin. Well, if you're God, you don't have any sin. God doesn't sin. So then you are relieved with joyful obedience to all this stuff that you're trying to allude to. But you've got it inside out. It's kind of like you're trying to bake a cake and you've never baked a cake before. And this is, if somebody would hand you a cake, you could make the cake to death. But instead what's happening, you're just groveling trying to make cake. And so what you have to do is realize you're God, and then to be un-God, you won't have all the rules and regulations that separate you from your God.
That's exactly correct. But here's the piece, Ion, that seems to be the little, you know, kerfuffle here is this magnetic covalent bonding, the attachment of physical and non-physical, that actually undoes the rules of the vectors that every little man has done. Is that a timed event? Is that something that happens on a daily basis? Is that the process of ascension? Because the undoing of the rules is implicit. It's imperative in this process of ascension. As you said, it's not a thinking man's game.
For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of two ways. To use divination, he made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. That was 21:21.
I'm reading it as you're saying it. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of two ways to use divination. So he used his little things here, his arrows and his images, and he looked in the liver to see, and at his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, so he got his answer, and it turned out to be a false divination. Okay?
And
so
now,
you
run it on down to 27. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites, Bob's favorite people, and concerning their reproach, even say thou, the sword is drawn for the slaughter, it is furbished to consume because of the glittering.
But it doesn't, that's
so
not...
basically, it does.
Okay,
it does. So hold on. Easy.
All right.
Easy. Here's what happens. You're trying to say that you have to have these shifts and changes that allow you to have these shifts and changes. And we say, yes, you do, but you don't. If you're looking on the other side of the Jordan, across from Canaan's land, you don't care what's happening on the other side of Moab. Doesn't bother you. And so once you come to that place, these undoings of a capacity or capacitation is fleeting. Or Bob would say, who noticed it anyway? We didn't notice it. He wouldn't give it notice. Or if he
right,
didn't notice it would be gone.
And those who are hanging out and, like, for example, myself or Greg or whoever's on the call or chat or whoever's hanging out tonight, Gene, I mean, this is what we do. We never mind. This was your precept that you said, you know, just never mind. Let it go. Don't focus any attention on it. It will resolve itself soon enough. And then, the cares of life grow strangely dim. So I think that that's being accomplished. Yes or no? Am I being naive there?
It is. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are, brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. It's all melting away. That's Ezekiel 22. Bob loves 22.
So Ezekiel 22, it's all melting away. All the rules are melting away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just falling off the people, which I think is what a lot of people...
Yeah, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, and the Lord God hath not spoken.
And that's about false prophecy in the classical sense.
Yeah, it's about the falling away of the things that aren't God, the things that aren't God.
Oh, okay.
So
very
we would
good.
Say you all are being, you are being false gods because you're not being the gods you are. Wow.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah,
I mean, I absolutely agree with you. That's 100%.
Which that would be, guess what? That would be the real abomination. I made a president joke. Did you get that?
Yeah, abomination.
It's not really funny if we have to tell you, though, is it?
Right. But the remedy for all this is?
The remnant. The remedy is the remnant.
The remedy is the remnant.
Dude, this will be solved with the things that you are potentially going to throw away. This will be completed with that which you would call waste. Every single time without fail or exception.
As long as there's a remedy.
At the Earl of Chaldee. We love Babylon. It's going to be so much fun.
Ion, when Moses struck the rock and water came out, was there anything unusual about that water?
Well, it was Axiom water, but the problem was he did it the wrong way. That's what's the wrong with it.
And describe what would have been the right way.
Someone would have created and had the actual white stone, rather than forcing the white stone from the interaction with the rod. You're forcing creation. You don't force creation. Remember that how many times have we played the Blue Bonnet commercial where it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature, and the little woman says, the shit blows up everything. Yeah, don't fuck with Mother Nature.
So that was Moses' impatience.
Yes, and it was bad. It was really bad because, see, it overstepped his place. If you're God, you can make the white stone. You don't have to smote another. You see? And then you then have it. See, you don't have to take it. You have it. We would say there's a difference.
And what was the specific gravity of that Axian water?
-203.
So, Ian, is that using the specific gravity scale that water is one? And this
no.
is why you're... Okay.
No.
What will the specific gravity scale change
you don't
to?
That
in the
yet. You don't have that yet. You don't have that yet because things don't count right. You're still dealing in a thing where you have gravity. Gravity is like time. Remember, we kind of went over this already. There is a magnetic term.
There's magnetic turn.
Yeah, there's magnetic turn, but there's not really what you call gravity.
So the specific gravity that would be best described in the new environment, kind of like how you describe pH, that the whole scale has to shift, with 7 being the new.
Well, you don't
zero.
Have a new. You don't have that scale. There is not that scale yet. See, that's the rub. That's obviously it's the rub.
Now, was that water, that Axiom water, so dense because of the concentration of hydrogen?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Ian.
So, and it came to pass in the 12th year of the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for King Pharaoh of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as the whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest their rivers. That's Ezekiel 32, 1.
Anything else, G-Bill?
No, I'm good.
Okay, that was excellent. I'll have to listen to all that again when I get a chance.
All the bright lights of heaven will make dark over thee and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries that thou hast not known.
That is now when Trump is inaugurated? That begins, or did it already begin?
When the last trump of God shall sound.
Well, is he the first and last?
His son is the last.
So no tribulation for many decades.
Then I will make their waters deep and cause their rivers to run like oil, says the Lord God. See how water's even going to change, GQ? See how water's even going to change? You do water stuff. It's going to be like oil. What would be the viscosity of water if it's running like oil?
Considerably more than what it is now.
32 way down there. So, see, that's what we're saying is the gauges aren't good. The gauges aren't good. And so you can say that, but you see.
The gauges and the reference point being synonymous. We don't have the reference point to gauge water as a oily substance.
So, Ian, the tribulations always are, because you say the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride forth every day. Is there something special about the hour of Trump?
Well, there is Edom, her kings and her princesses. There might be laid by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pit.
So what?
Oh, there'll be the princesses of the north, all of them. All of the Dodians, they all have gone down with the slain, with their terror, that they're ashamed of their might. They lie with the uncircumcised and them that be slain by the sword and bear their shame with them and they go down to the pit.
What about the Trump era and the last Trump? Since you don't do time, how many books will have been written about me at the time of the last Trump?
Oh, well, I've caused my terror in the land of the living and shall be laid in the midst of the
uncircumcised. Is my microphone broken?
Them that lay. No, you got your sound flower all screwed up.
So you can't register me right now?
We register you. Echo.
So, Ion, just to confirm, the good news is for the remnant then. Is that correct?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But if the watchman see a sword come and blow not his trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away from their iniquity. And his blood will be required in the watchman's hand.
Then that goes back to Revelation.
When you want to talk about Trump in an hour, so I ain't going to fucking accommodate it.
We just did talk about Trump. We just did. The sound of Trump took the warning with the blood in the hand. It was Ezekiel 33. There was nothing we could do.
Which Trump does that refer to?
Donald J. Trump.
Okay, so there's a nowness to the Trump effect? There is something.
There is. Always has been. It's what was in peril. It's what was in peril. The nowness. And that's what we said all along. And everybody said, no, it can't be. We can't do this. Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You, it's okay.
Are we moving out of the end of the beginning phase with the Trump inauguration?
As soon as they blow the chauffeur.
Blow job.
No, silly Bob, blow the ram's horn.
Oh, the chauffeur, that's the ram's horn. Oh, okay, I thought you meant the driver.
No, that's Trump, Miss Daisy's friend.
So does the Trump era bring
Hope.
Us back?
His name was Hope.
Does the Trump era bring us back into the 60s correction, the correction of the hologram of the 60s?
It's better than that because, see, it gets you out of the it gets you out of Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things, which is the TV show about the post-Guff era. No more Guff.
Eight-track.
That'd be octet track.
Octet. It does
apply.
Yeah.
Well, that was very good, Ginny and Greg. Hope my supplements were relevant.
They did their homework, Bob. They were ready to go. We were rocking ready.
All right.
The rhythm of
we
the
have
rain.
A new person here. I've never seen this number. Let's see if this person did their homework. I usually don't say their name. Arlington, do you want to speak to Ion?
Yes, I do.
What's your name?
Rin.
Hey, Rin. How you hanging?
Hi, Ion. I'm great. It's good to talk to you.
Good to be spoken to, yes.
I have several questions for you, if y'all don't mind answering. Some of the questions I want to ask are about King James the Fourth of Scotland and some of his children. The first question is about the king himself. Did he die from his injuries in battle?
No, he did not.
Was he murdered?
He didn't die.
Thank you. That's good
news,
Jimmy.
This is North Cumberland, the North Cumberland.
Okay, what about the other battle then?
Well, see, you're going to bring in Lady Janet Stuart, and that's where it gets to be troublesome because it's not quite like that.
That would be troublesome.
Because now you're going to end up with the Tudors. And the Mary Queen of Scots is the grandbaby, and this whole running long run that comes. And we get all that, but he ain't dead.
Well, then I want to ask you about two of his children, Alexander and Catherine.
There were two Catherines. Which one do you refer?
I refer to Mary and Boyd's children, Alexander and Catherine.
Gotcha. Okay. Now your question was?
Who, Alexander or Catherine, was the elder?
Catherine.
Yay!
By the way of Robert II. That was from 1371 until 1316.
Then I had another question regarding Erasmus and his teaching of Alexander. Did Erasmus ever visit Stirling Castle or any other of Catherine and Alexander's residences?
Yes, and he had an affair with Elizabeth Muir.
I didn't know that.
Yes, she was quite a looker. She came from Rowalland Castle.
Were Alexander and Catherine there at that time?
Yeah, but don't tell anybody. About 1347.
Then I have some questions about Catherine. Did she marry James Douglas primarily for love, or was there another reason or reasons that she married
him? The dowry or the money.
Who instructed Catherine to marry James Douglas?
Well, Kate Blanchett, of course. Didn't you see the movie?
Okay. No, I didn't.
Hey, Ren,
because
Ren. How do you spell your name, Ren?
W-R-Y-N-N.
Okay, so we get knocked off, so we don't know who or what you're talking about, so just give me a sign. Who's Alexander? Who are these people that you're discussing?
Okay. King James the Fourth of Scotland. And Alexander and Catherine were his two children by his first mistress, Miriam Boyd.
And why are you asking about these people?
One of my hobbies is genealogy, and
yeah.
I had traced my ancestry back to King James the Fourth of Scotland through direct lines of parents and grandparents.
So it's a personal interest, not based on listening to our visit to the castles around Paris. You don't know about that, right?
Yes, I do. I have been listening for a couple of weeks now with a friend. That's a friend of mine and a friend of yours.
Oh, it was the private lives of Elizabeth.
Wait. Who's
and
the
Essex.
Friend of us? Who's the friend? Come on, Ian. What did she say?
Well, I didn't say the name of the friend, but one of my questions.
We have a mutual friend?
Yes.
All right, well, I'll stop talking. You can go ahead with your questioning.
Thank you, Bob. No, it was a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Okay.
So I was wondering, and I had asked Ian, and he answered that Catherine was the eldest of the two, of Alexander and Catherine. And then I had asked about Erasmus, because Erasmus was Alexander's instructor, and I know that Alexander went to Italy to study under him, but I didn't know if Erasmus had ever visited Scotland, and at one of the residences where Catherine may have been present. And so that was one of the questions. And then the question we were on was, when Catherine married, she married James Douglas, the third Earl of Morton. And I was asking, did she marry him for love, or were there other reasons? And Ion said that it was because of the dowry. So my follow-up question to that was going to be, who wanted the dowry? I mean, since her father was the king,
the kingdom,
he would be the
kingdom wanted the dowry. The Earl of Essex.
The Earl of Essex?
Yeah, we were answering this question wrong before Bob interrupted. The private lives of Elizabeth and Essex.
That's what you were saying. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. It's very annoying because we know what you're going to ask and we know what we're going to answer. And we've done this. That's why this is a recorded show. And we can perfect a recorded show because it's just being recorded. No, it's already recorded. So it's Memorex. So just like Tricky Dick Nixon, oh, wait, no, this is bigger than Watergate. We can't refer to that anymore. We can erase the tape with a lead eraser, the reel-to-reel. That was before the 8-track tape, Bob. That was before the 8-track tape.
Okay, well, I was going to ask if Lady Catherine had any lovers.
No, it was Lord Alex.
Oh, no. That scoundrel.
Well,
you're really into this. What are you like? You're related to these people, right? So.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Talking news.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if I had chosen someone who I thought that she might have had for a lover, it wouldn't have been him.
Good.
You? Are you bringing yourself into this? What? Are you
Me?
One of these people? Yeah, you.
Don't mind, Bob. He hasn't had his popcorn yet. He's this lame dude who has his popcorn every time. He gets like this. They don't put enough pepper in the popcorn, and it goes down south, and it just lays out.
She said she wouldn't have chosen Alex as the lover. She would have chosen someone else.
Oh, she wasn't talking about herself.
No.
So you agree with Ion? Is that what we get from that?
No, I'm surprised.
Oh, okay.
I'm not surprised that she had a lover. I'm surprised who Ion said the lover was. Okay.
But can you justify your ridiculous statement, Ion? Are you getting back? Can you
Earl of
Grimes.
The Earl of Drysdale.
It's out of my field, Brian. I can't help you. Go ahead.
That's okay.
Poor Bob. The last poor Bob. Now, if you were talking to that damn Larusian, if you were speaking that damn Finneganese, you were talking to James Joyce, if you could quote Ulysses,
the Earl of Drysdale, oh my God, no!
Not the Earl of
Drysdale. Not him, oh man.
The thing is, these people are still here. They're still around. They're prompting.
No, you got bumped off. Y'all got bumped off about an hour ago. It's okay. It's all fun.
So then that's all the questions that I had about King James and his two oldest children. But I have a couple of other questions that I wanted to ask Ion.
Okay. We're right here. Myself. We love it when you do it in the third person, like we're not here. It's our favorite.
Well, I was telling Bob so that Bob might not. I love you, Ion. You're.
It's all fun. No, we like that part too. It's all fun.
It is. Well, I'm not all here, so. One of the other questions I was going to ask you while I was so fortunate to get to talk to you tonight, and I'm so excited about that, is I was wondering if I'm going to receive my money checks and if they'll be sufficient enough to pay my monthly expenses.
We would say certainly, but you don't know what your monthly expenses are, so how would you know?
My expected monthly expenses.
So is your estimated money going to equal your estimated bills that's going to be your estimated expenses that you're going to accidentally pay if you have that many money checks? And if ever how much you get is that much, then you do. And if ever how much you get, you don't pay more than that, then there's no. Either way, the amount of money meets the amount of bills. Yes?
I'm so happy to hear that.
It's just kind of glib, but don't get too carried away with any of it, because in about 1 second, it's kind of like, oh, okay. You know?
I will take your advice on that.
It's all good.
Okay, I have two more questions for you. And the next one is my Social Security disability claim going to be approved before the end of the year?
Not by the end of the year, darling.
Okay.
It's going to be soon. But there might not even be a government by then. So, and to be fair,
true.
It's been really good.
That's true.
But don't see it that way. You can't see it that way. Here's what's happening. You're building a box. Little house is made of ticky-tacky. You know, Bob just loves that song. We hope we don't make you play that song, Bob. We may make you make it. If she gets this, you don't have to play it. But if she doesn't get it, then you got to get it. You got it, Bob?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ready and waiting.
Okay. No. You don't have to do that. But if she don't get this, then you're going to have to. And you hate
this. Yeah, so get this, Bryn. I hate that song.
Yeah.
You've got to get this.
The Malvina Reynolds.
No pressure.
Yeah, she just cannot, he cannot stand it. But the words, it kind of goes, it's just like bad guitar picking and stuff. You know, and it's just a terrible thing. The little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. It's terrible. And the twangy voice, he can't stand that either. He really, really doesn't like it. So it's important that you get this part, okay? Really, he's going to have to play it. I'm just saying he's going to have to, and he won't like it. So here we go.
Okay, no pressure.
Here's no pressure, but he will make you listen to it. So just saying. Okay. What you're doing is you're setting yourself up in this position of a little house. Living in a box, in a cardboard box. It's ready, Bob. Don't play it yet. Now, then what happens is you make this aspiration of money coming to you. And we go, oh, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. Ask Bob. Bob doesn't even know how much money he has, but he doesn't know. If he had all the money, he wouldn't care, because he wouldn't know. He doesn't have a clue. But because of that, money doesn't, it's not a big thing to him. He doesn't know it or care or know. He has to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here he's sitting there with all the money in the world, trolling through Europe, and then a credit card would be down or dead over there somewhere, and strangers would give them money to put in the car at petrol for the car so they could drive to the next fucking castle. I mean, it's insanity. It's just insanity. You cannot live your life in such a way where you have to think or consume or be about money. Because if you do, then the money you're consuming won't be enough. See, you've got to do it the other way around. Give all the money you have away and don't have any money. Then all of a sudden everything gets worked out. Boom. You don't care. If I would give $2 or $2 million for his quart of Lafferty's ice cream, and he wouldn't care. And whatever they give him money back, he just says, put it in a tip jar. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. It's okay. It doesn't bother him. He doesn't have a clue. And that's okay. But it's just from a perspective, you see. But the perspective
right.
is that if you have a man, the last thing you want is a man. You got one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you want money, then you're acknowledging that you don't have money. And if you don't have money, then you're trying to get money. Well, all that's doing is, vibrationally, you're pushing it away from you. You're acknowledging that your blessing or being blessed out of is not arriving to you. It can't, because you won't receive it. So if you don't care, or if they send you the money, you say, take the money. Wait. Here you go. The gold digger, unsinkable Molly Brown. They hit gold and cashed in the gold and put the money. It was so much money they couldn't stand it. They put it in the furnace. She'd never had a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. And so they hid all the money in the stove. When she come in, she was cold. And they come in, and her husband, John Brown, come in, and she lit the stove, burn all the damn money up, a king's ransom of money back in before Hoover days, and burn the thing up, burn up all the money. She was so ripped up and tore up, but it didn't make a difference. She just went down another big basketball wheelbarrow full of money. But no big deal. But you have to see it that way. And if you can see it that way, then you can be the belle of the ball. But if you can't see it that way, then you're forever just beyond it, just outside the gate. Just outside the gate. You got that?
Yes.
Okay, tell us how it works then.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. If you're going to be like, it doesn't matter, you could have all the money in the world or none of the money in the world, and it doesn't matter because what will happen will happen. So how do I just have that attitude? And
no, darling, that's fatalism. That's where William Shakespeare messed it up. That's fatalism.
Okay.
That's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying at all. Even the
Primitive
Baptists do better than that. Yeah. No, let's see it another way. Let's say, have you been able to survive this thing called life so far in life?
Yes.
Tell us, is that possible? What were you doing? What did you do?
I never gave up.
Gave up what? Ice cream? Sex? Money?
My will.
Did you not give up?
My will to live,
well,
to make it through this life so far.
Wills, honey, they only do a will when you're dead. That's only good after you're dead. Will is only good after you're dead. Your last will.
Good way.
That's the only time it's good. So don't worry about a will. So what else did you have? You're close to that, Bob. You better support that. You're going to have to listen to the music. Just saying. It's terrible. Okay. Go back. We got this. It's going to be okay. You've never given up your something to something. Go ahead. Say those words and we'll get you there.
I've never given up my something to something?
No, we were asking you. We're trying to engage to figure out where
okay.
you are, to find out if you have to listen to the awful song or not.
Okay. I've never given...
No, it's not that serious. Not that serious. Okay. You survived some way. Describe the way you survived.
I have had food to eat and water to drink and air to breathe, and that helped me survive.
Ooh. Do you know what survive means?
Yes. I didn't say I lived. I didn't say I lived. I said I survived.
Okay, tell us what the definition of survive is.
Well, I'm not a dictionary, but let me see if I can figure a couple of words to put together. To continue to exist.
Especially in spite of danger or hardship. See, that's the thing.
Yes.
Right. That's the problem. See, that's the part. Or to remain alive after the death of a particular individual. You survived your dead husband. Against all odds, the child survived. Is there a transitive version?
Me?
No, wait, hold one second. Just hold on just a second. Bob.
Yes. Did you do it?
No, you gotta help. Oh. You gotta help. Is there a transitive verb for survive? See.
Are you nuts, man? Like, what's a transitive verb?
Well, look it up.
Carol, could you look that up? Yeah, so he counts faster than me.
But we're trying to pull this out of the fire because she's tangled up in a little kingdom. Here's what's happening, Bob. She's in a little kingdom problem, and she's busting out on every level, on every scene, at every degree. It's perfect. But she's hung up in the realm of the ticky-tacky. There's the rub. That's why we're trying to solve this. Go ahead, Carol.
Transitive survive is past tense survived. It says here. Survived.
Oh, so, good. So the transitive. So then, so now, is there a pluperfect version of survive?
Let's see. Amazing what Dr. Google has. Pluperfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, pluperfect. I had survived. You had survived. So it's had,
you had
survived.
You had survived. Okay. So you survived. You survived, and you had survived. Okay, so now you're trying to figure out these money checks things that will allow you to have survived easier, or are you still trying to survive? So you didn't say live, you said survive. So that's why we're being very clear, because you can have anything you want. But if all you need to do is survive, we'll send you a book 11, and you can enjoy your water out of the running out of the stream.
I want to survive. I want to thrive. I want to overcome. I want to live.
Now, overcoming, now that's Bob's specialty. He's the comer from way back. He's a good comer. Overcoming is very good. That's good. Good. So that's nice. Copulation is always pleasant. Yes. Get outside and talk on the radio. Bob gets thrown off the CKLA.
Are you done, Ren?
Did you drive Ren to sleep, Ion? Ion, did you drive Ren to sleep?
No, no.
Back off, Ion.
You can't have dead silence on the radio. Bob will get fired from CKLA.
You want live silence?
We survived the dead silence. We survived.
We shall survive. Do you have a knowing or a feeling place that can change your perspective so that you don't have to have the least that is in the kingdom of God?
I think so.
Okay, well then we think you better play the music, Mom.
Uh-oh. You didn't make it. Ren, come on.
I didn't make it?
But the music.
No, I got to play the music. If you don't make
it. Listen to the words. It'll help.
All right.
okay. Bob. Take it like a man, Bob. Take it like a man.
Okay, just a second now. I'm answering email like Carolyn. I don't ever do that.
Probably taking notes.
Do what Carol does.
I'm multitasking.
Bob is
multitasking with no adeptness at multitasking.
Right.
It's very dangerous. He may not survive.
True.
Well, we got it.
I did something wrong.
Okay, we're just setting it up here. Okay, I can skip the ad.
Okay.
Bring the volume up.
Yeah, you
go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, no, not this. Oh. Ticky tack.
We know.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one. And they're all made out of ticky tacky and they all look just the same. In the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martinis dry. They all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university where they are put in boxes, and they come out all the same. And the boys go into business, and marry and raise a family in boxes. Made of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
That's the first time I've heard the words. Nice words.
And a pretty up-to-date word.
Does that clear it up for you now? Does that clear it up for you now? It does for us.
Yes, it does, yes.
That's
it does.
Right. And now apologize to Bob for making him listen to it.
I'm sorry
no,
I made
out.
You have to listen to it, Bob.
Well, it worked out. I've never really heard all her lyrics. The music's so irritating.
Yeah, it's the first time I listened to the words, too, to distract myself. And
so,
yeah,
okay.
It was pretty good.
Your failure is our win. You remember, you still failed.
Thank you.
Well, maybe get something out of the word. Now, let's find out about this ridiculous person. She was born Malvina Milder on August 23rd, 1900. American folk blues singer-songwriter. And this song was recorded in 1961. She was a political activist. Born in San Francisco to two Jewish immigrants and socialist opponents of World War One.
So she was what they call a red diaper baby?
Yeah.
And they all look just
Did I say she was born in 1900? I had a mixed up here.
And they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business.
She earned her Bachelor of Arts and Master of Arts at the University of California, Berkeley, and later went on to earn her doctorate there. Finishing her dissertation in 1938.
Martinis dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to
began her songwriting career late in life. She was in her late 40s when she met Earl Robinson, Pete Seeger, and other folk singers and songwriters. She returned to school at Berkeley, where she studied music theory.
In boxes made of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. There's a pink one and a green one.
You recorded for Columbia.
And a blue one and a yellow one.
Record.
And they're all made
Folkways
out of Folkways
Records.
And they all look just...
And her own Cassandra label. A film biography, Love It Like a Fool, was made a few years before she died in 1978. So, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
She's an intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hanging out with Pete Seeger and the whole gang. She was right up there. What's her name again, Bob?
Melvina Reynolds, born as Melvina Milder on August 23rd, 1900.
Hmm.
So, she was a latecomer. But, well, thank you for the opportunity to learn something. I am, again, we owe you for our increased knowledge of another person that passed through shadow of death, or valley of hell, whatever it is they call the little world.
Valley. That's a big valley, Bob. That's a big valley.
Oh, yeah, Bonanza.
But no, that's a big valley. That's not Bonanza. That's Joe and Hoss and all the...
He knows the people.
He
knows the characters.
We're talking about Barbara Stanwyck.
Barbara Stanwyck. I do remember her at that, yes.
Yeah, she was not in Bonanza. She was in the Big Valley. She was in the show Big Valley.
Do you have you only listened to us for a couple of weeks, Malvina? Oh, what's your name? Rin.
Rin.
Rin. Have you only listened to it? Information overload. Come on, now. I've been with a lot. I got people saying, I'm going back to sleep. I'll come back in the evening.
You're
writing me.
Like you care.
Yeah, like I'm going. I got to check out Bob.
Do you drink
Sorry, Bob cares. Bob cares.
Yeah, what does Ion say? Is he still talking? Is I still talking? Yeah.
I'm talking too.
Yeah, but Rin, what was I asking her about? Oh, yeah. You only been listening to us for
if
2 weeks,
drank,
Rin?
If she drank her martinis dry.
No, Rin, just answer my question. You can listen to Ion.
Yes, only a couple of weeks.
Okay, so what would that mean? Ion, there's a new TV show I just started watching called Westworld. He knows everything. He can tell me what would happen next season in Westworld. I don't want to know, so I don't ask him. But he can name the actor
in it. He gets so pissed off. He gets so pissed off when he does that. He'll throw
so
it.
You just walk into an amazing world here.
You have no idea
Rin.
How many computers.
Where you get our product?
Had to order. Karen has to order because he gets mad and throws the damn computer because he says he's seen everything on this computer. And he throws it out. And then he tried to erase something off the computer and he took an eraser to the damn screen. And he threw that one in the library under the car. That's what was so hysterical. These people are so
Ion.
Rich, they have a library in their car or garage. It's amazing.
Car garage. Ion, remember earlier when we were talking earlier, Bob said, oh, I've got to get some previous files. You know, oh, I got to get them off the computer, and I was going out to swim, so I lined it up, and there it was for him to do. Come back an hour later, I couldn't do it.
No, the computer refused to, which I know Ion did that. I blame everything on Ion. Ion
so I went over and dragged. You know what he was doing?
Laughing
he
did
trying
it. He does
to drag
this. So this part of the show could happen. He set
those files off the computer onto the stick. He was supposed to put them in the stick. He had not put the stick in the computer.
Oh, is that why
he's
it
dragging
work?
Them in there. What looked like a plug. You know, there's a plug for the backup.
That's interesting, because the computer kept saying, that's not going to work. You can't do that. I just backed off. Oh, I don't want to break the law. Oh, that's right. I probably forgot to stick the memory stick. But look, I was trying to prepare for the show, okay? I was harassed.
We need to get him. Okay, I don't want to have to get in the stick to remind you to put in the stick.
It makes me look like a genius. I came home and did it, but I didn't tell him why.
Yeah, I was quite impressed. Holy shit, man, she can do anything. This is all for our anniversary. We've been together 50 years. Think of that, Malvina. Oh, what's your name again, Rin?
Did you drink your martinis dry?
You could be with somebody for 50 years.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that's ridiculous, don't you think? Is that ridiculous?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's awesome.
And Carolyn says, and I want you to know right now, it's been 6 of the happiest years of my life.
The first 50 years are the hardest.
It's not hard with Carolyn. See, that's what was so easy. It's not even an accomplishment living with Carolyn. I mean, she's so amazing, so what the heck? It'd be stupid to leave. It'd be absolute suicide.
Where would you go? She'd have to tell you where to go, so you wouldn't... It really wouldn't work out well, Bob, but she'd have to tell you where to leave to.
Yeah, all the times I've told him to leave, he said, no, that would be stupid.
I don't leave it. No, Dad, am I leaving?
You think I'm stupid?
Okay, enough about you. Why would I leave? Yeah, we got to bring Bob back.
I put up with a lot of shit, man. She's totally spoiled pirate, you know, because she'd get away with anything because I'm going to complain. But she has to sleep 8 hours a day or something, 7 hours, and I don't, so I get to do a lot during those hours. So she's very suspicious of me because I look so handsome when I go to sleep. I look alive and handsome.
Oh, yeah.
She knows I'm up to something in parallel worlds.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and
let's just put it this
way.
He's
woken up with complaints, too.
What's that mean?
He does his
little
house.
Physical complaints. From over exertion.
Oh, like sore organs?
Yeah.
I woke up with sore organs, Rich.
Oh, yeah, okay, we talked to Bob about his orifices.
Okay, enough, yes.
Yeah, come on, let's move on. All right, very nice, Rin. Hey, good question. You found out a lot about yourself. It's going to be tough, you know, actualizing it. You know, actually making your life better. That's going to be a struggle. But you got the words. Just go back and re-listen.
Golly, what? Ion just spent an hour
building her up.
Yeah. Very nice. Did you notice how gentle Ion was? And what do you do? The last sentence? It's going to be tough.
Yeah. So it's
so anything Bob says, Ren, you got to know. You have to take it the opposite way.
Yeah, I'm always wrong, Ren. I'm the most wrong person. I did one correct thing, which makes me the greatest human I've ever lived, and that's evoking Ion, but in general, I've been really a screw-up.
Yeah. Bob thought he was wrong. Bob thought he was wrong one time, but then he realized he was mistaken.
I've done that before. I was wrong and realized I was mistaken.
Right. Who took you? Who badly took you, mistook? You were taken somewheres? Mistaken by the wrong person, like picked up by the wrong cab or something?
Yes. No.
Her Uber was sore.
Uber. Yeah, Uber
it was. Yeah. I wanted to ask Ion one more question. And this one kind of concerns our mutual friend. And so I'm wondering if a trip to California would be in my best interest in respects to the future of my relationship.
Yes, but are you prepared to commit $300,000 to the journey?
Yes.
Okay, then it's fine. It would be. Mm-hmm.
If I were required to give up $300,000 for the journey.
We didn't say give up. We didn't say give up. We didn't say
what
give
did
up.
You
we
say?
Said commit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We
commit. Yes.
Now,
you
listen,
did.
Now,
you did
very,
say commit.
Now, we know, but see, what we're trying to tell you is we are stupid literals. You have to pay attention on the literal side. We were even going into the past pluperfect tense of had survived. No one goes into the past pluperfect tense except for Bob, and he wouldn't even look it up. So, you know, Garrison Keillor doesn't work anymore, darling, so it's down to this. Bob is the best you got left. So, long story shorter, then you've got to be very literal. We are always literal.
Very literal. All right.
And that'll help you, because if you're willing to commit it, we didn't say it's going to cost you $300,000.
Right.
You said you
was I willing to commit? And that was the key word, is commit. Is that right?
That's
correct. Commit is the key word. Okay. So how much longer should I keep Augmentor in Fort Worth? before we come back to California?
Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind?
Every day.
Well, the soup's not made yet, so let's give it a minute. It'll be soup soon. Do you want us to rush it? We can.
No, I want it to... That's a hard question to answer for me.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Just be literal.
Literal?
Yeah. Why not?
Yes. I would like you to rush it.
Okay. Hang on. See, this is what's so fun. When this begins, when the... Wow. Okay, done. No problem. We got it. You've done really good, and it's been good. We're going to help a little bit now.
Okay. Well, I am thankful to you for being there.
No, it's not just okay. It's fantastic.
No, I am trying to. I'm kind of overwhelmed right now at this second, and
all is well. Don't worry.
Well.
Okay, great. Nice to meet you, Rin.
It's good. It's wonderful, and it was wonderful to meet you, Bob, and Carolyn, and Ion, to talk to you. And I thank
you. We adore our mutual friend, don't we?
We do.
Now, you mentioned Augmenter, right?
Yes.
So you're talking about the mutual friend is Leslie?
No, her son.
Oh. Oh, Augmenter is our mutual friend. Okay, right.
Yes.
Okay. Tell him to call in and talk to Ion. I don't think he's ever...
He's not as brave as you are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it
made...
Say this one, Bob. This will be good.
It made him very happy for me to call and talk to Ion tonight.
Hey, well, that's all good. That's so good. Where do you find out what all we got? This is so funny. Then we'll make him jealous, too. That'll be fun.
It'll make him jealous or me
jealous? What you're going to get. No,
him.
What him.
Oh.
Jealous,
you're gonna get,
it's going to make him jealous.
See, as weird as this is, what happens is after a little you start connecting with non-physical. And then all this ridiculous, inappropriate, stupid, bullshit, chit-chat, tick-tack, big black, blah, big black, blah, blah. All this stuff starts happening, and you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then you look, and there's $300,000 in your account that you're willing to commit to go to California, that now you don't have to give it up. So now you're poor with $300,000. Now you're like Bob. That's silly, isn't it?
Yep.
You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Nice talking to you, Rin.
Thank you, Bob. Nice talking to you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell your mom or Nim. I said, hey, when the money shows up, don't spurn it. Receive it. Don't spurn it.
Okay. That's the message to Rin.